Transforming our streets to be safer, more functional, and less focused on the passage of cars is a process. Capital Streets is building a movement to transform the Capital Region's streets, and I'm here with their executive director, James Rath, to discuss what that process looks like and some of the projects that they're looking at the moment. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So you just celebrated your 1 year. You had this celebration, a presentation. Do you have any reflections on this past year?
On the year itself? It really has been super successful. I couldn't have asked for it to go much better. We're feeling really full of gratitude here at Capital Streets. And it's, you know, a huge effort from the entire community, from myself and Jackie Gonzalez, who's our new project manager and focusing more on issues in Albany. Our board members have been just amazing. And then like everybody in the community who's been involved. You know, looking back at the anniversary party, we had like over 120 people who showed up, and you know, even some representatives who like wanted to come out and talk about these issues and engage with their constituents. And it was, yeah, it was an amazing celebration. And you know, one of the things I want to really hammer home too is that we're not here to replace the civic engagement that needs to happen around these issues. We're here to like foster and facilitate that, and provide some technical analysis that we're going to talk about on how these issues could be actually improved and why these issues are so important. But it really still needs to be something that's coming from the bottom up and is community oriented.
I imagine the processes do differ from project to project, but what does it kind of look like to transform a street or an intersection?
You're right. It does differ a bit based on the context. And we do, you know, alter how we approach things in different contexts. But in general, you know, across the board, what we see in the Capital Region is most of our intersections and corridors are designed to get people from A to B in a car as quickly as possible. They're not really geared towards, in most locations, making it safer and easier to cross the street, making it a quieter street to live on, you know, a more enjoyable place to sit outside. And so those are some of our goals when we're looking at these projects. And so one of the first places I like to start is just, you know, what is the intent of that corridor? Is it, you know, close to 787? Are people rushing at rush hour to get onto the highway and get off the highway? Is it near a school? Those sorts of pieces of context that might change how we could approach it. We look at the annual average daily traffic counts, which is a mouthful for just saying like how many people are driving on the road. We look at the intersection geometry. We look at, you know, how quickly could a vehicle take that turn, which, you know, also impacts crossing distance. You know, existing conditions analysis on like sidewalks, street trees, all these different things. Yeah, it's almost like trickier for me to talk about it, to be honest, than actually doing it. It feels like right now for me, it's sort of second nature. I know like my family and friends are super sick of hearing me talk about a street design, like while we're walking down the street and we're supposed to just be like getting a cup of coffee or something. I'll be like, oh my God, look at this corner radiator, or this tactical warning strip, or like this raised crosswalk, or whatever it might be.
Could you walk us through an example of one of the projects you did recently? You have a Manning Boulevard and a Frisbee Ave Street. Those are two of the projects that you have some memos around. What are some of the memos around these areas?
So those are both in Albany, in the city of Albany, and they were both prompted by the city, you know, announcing that they're going to do a streetscape improvement project on those corridors. So Manning Boulevard between Washington and Western, which are like two of the main corridors in Manning, going kind of uptown and downtown. So Manning Boulevard is sort of a cross town connector, is how I think of it. And it's unique because it has these what they call bridle paths on either side running parallel to Manning Boulevard, which has like, you know, a unique history about kind of like the upper class folks who would use those to ride carriages, I believe. But right now what it creates is like this super wide right of way. So like the public space between the private spaces where the homes are is like over 120 feet wide, which is absolutely massive. So you can do any sort of thing in that right of way to accommodate people trying to get from A to B. You could do something super creative, like the city, if they wanted to, could do something pie in the sky, like create a park in the middle of it. Now that's not what they're looking to do, and you know, it's not what we're suggesting they do, but it's just an example. Like there's so much space there. And so that corridor is a place where people speed. It is a place where we heard from the residents that on those parallel carriage paths, people are using them as a cut through when there's congestion. So they're getting off of the main drag and they're driving on these bridle paths super fast. And so we took all that context and we looked at what the city was putting forward, and we just did a critique of their proposals. They put out two alternatives initially, and we said, hey, like we see these proposals, but here's some feedback, things that they weren't thinking about. Yeah. So this is a bit lengthy to kind of explain, but you know, if you're in that area and you're listening to this, and you know, you can go on our website and you can read our Manning Boulevard analysis. There's a really simple graphic on there that actually just calls out those areas. And then looking at like Frisbee Ave, which is a bit simpler, it's this kind of open straight road. Yeah, it's where the sports fields are. So a lot of people from out of the neighborhood are like getting there, whether they're driving or walking or biking, to go to the sports fields. A lot of kids are around, and it's just this big open drag. So what we got into that analysis at a different stage in the process. So the city of Albany didn't put out any alternatives. So we're kind of trying to be more proactive and steering them in a way that we think is going to be the best for the community. And we, you know, we do that by listening to folks at the public meeting. We've listened to the public meeting several times since then. And again, doing that, you know, existing conditions analysis, looking at how much space is actually there, because we don't want to, you know, try to ask the city to do anything crazy, you know, go after eminent domain or anything wild like that. It's just like, there's plenty of space. Let's use it in the best way that possible. And what we put forward in that memo was asking for a side path, which is basically like a trail running parallel to the roadway. So this takes bikes and people riding bikes and people walking off of that busy, dangerous corridor and puts them on a separate facility, which we know are really popular and we know are really comfortable, and it separates them. And what we see with side paths is that it actually does increase not only safety and comfort, but it also increases how many people are going to use that infrastructure and get there on foot and on by bike.
So obviously you have the language around this. People who are living there may not have the language. What is the transparency process, and how easy is it for a resident or someone who uses that space to get involved in that process?
Yeah, and that's another thing that sort of differs from project to project. Unfortunately, I think, you know, we do need more transparency in the planning process. We do need to do more to listen to the voices that are most vulnerable in those communities, the people who, you know, are walking and biking not because it's their favorite thing to do, but maybe it's like the reason that they need, the way they need to get to work or to school. If people want to speak up about these issues, which I think they should, they can pull from the memos that we're providing. You know, they can take a line out of that and send that to their council members, send that to the mayor's office. You know, we're going to the city council in Troy tonight, their finance meeting. They're talking about this massive project on Route 2, which is Congress and Ferry Street downtown, this main corridor, which is right now very busy and sort of divides downtown. And we're going to go there and say, hey, this is a project that I think we will be very supportive of. I think it's going to do amazing things for the city, but we need some more transparency in the process. We've had one stakeholder meeting that Capitol Street's pushed really hard to get. And since then, I think we've received like one small and vague email update. So we really need a public meeting on this project. And I think that, you know, that's something that kind of goes across the board with all these different types of projects.
So our council meeting is tonight, Wednesday, 24th. Thank you so much, James Rath, for joining us from Capitol Streets. You mentioned that your memos are available on your website. Could you let our listeners know how to learn more about Capitol Streets?
CapitolStreets.org under public comments. And we also have a project tracker on our website. on Instagram, and a newsletter that, you know, provides a little bit more info on other things that we're working on too.